ओम ज्ञानतिमिगन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter 18, text number 65. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder Acharya of ISKCON.
Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vaishyasi satyam te pratijane priyosi me.
Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. Bhagavad Gita is the essence of all knowledge. And this verse is the essence of Bhagavad Gita. Sarva guhyatamam bhuya shrinume paramang vacha. Just before this, Krishna is telling Arjuna that now I'm going to tell you what is the most confidential of knowledge. Paramang vacha, shrinume paramang vacha. Now you should hear what is my topmost instruction. Because before this, Krishna instructed so many things about karma, jnana, yoga, elevation to heavenly planets, falling down again from heavenly planets, three modes of material nature, what is material energy, what is spiritual energy. So many things Krishna described. Now he's giving the essence of all knowledge, which is that one should become a pure devotee of Krishna and always think of him. As Prabhupada writes in the purport, life should be molded in such a way that one cannot but think of Krishna 24 hours. So, for a pure devotee, this is a natural thing. Santa sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena. Santa sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti. Who is a pure devotee, who's got the premanjan, who's got the ointment of pure love of Krishna smeared on his eyes, then he always sees Krishna 24 hours a day. Actually, I was just reading a lecture Prabhupada was saying recently. He said, actually, to see Krishna is not such a difficult thing. It's not such a big thing. You can see, anyone can see Krishna. You just see everything. Krishna is described in Bhagavad Gita. Rasoham apsukondaya prabhashmi shasi suryayo. If you see the light of the sun and the moon, that is Krishna. The taste of the water, that is Krishna. So one who is trained in knowledge, Pashyanti Jnana Chakshusha. One who is trained in knowledge, he can see Krishna everywhere. He sees his, everything is Krishna's energy. Everything is going on by the will of Krishna. So Prabhupada said, to see Krishna is not such a big thing. People are may saying, oh, I want to see Krishna. Or sometimes they say, in my dream I had a darshan of Krishna. Or so many things they'll tell you. But the real thing Prabhupada was saying is to act in such a way that Krishna will be wanting to see you by your service. Atashri Krishna Namadi Nabhavad Grahyam Indriyai Sivan Mukhehi Jivado Svayameva Spuratiyada. To understand Krishna is not such an easy thing. Sometimes in India we meet people, they say, oh, I saw Krishna in a dream, or I had a vision. I saw Krishna dancing Ras Leela. So many things. But even if you saw, that in itself is not such a great thing. Of course, we don't know all these people. They're telling, I saw Krishna, this, that. Maybe some imagination of this. But even if you see, seeing is not the thing. It's not the main thing. The main thing is to serve Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Adarshanan mamahatam karotu va. Even if I don't see you, I'm not demanding that I see you. Someone may think, well, I'm chanting Hare Krishna now for the last 6 months and I didn't see any vision of Krishna. I didn't see Krishna dancing. So what is the use of this chanting Hare Krishna? Better I just go back to smoking cigarettes. Don't waste my time with this chanting Hare Krishna. But this is not the point, that this attitude, I want to see Krishna. The attitude should be, we will work in such a way that Krishna will be very pleased to see us. That my devotee, he is serving so nicely. Just like how Krishna will come to see us. You may think, well, Krishna is very busy. He has so many things. Actually, Krishna is not busy. Krishna is dancing with Radharani. But that's also some kind of busy, but that's pleasure. Lila. Rasa Vilasi. Nikunja Rasa Vilasi. That one name of Krishna is given. He's enjoying pastimes in the groves of Vrindavan. But he's also not irresponsible. He's not simply a playboy. He also, by his expansion as Lord Vishnu, he's overseeing the whole universe. So he's seeing everything. He knows what's in our heart. So, Lord Vishnu is the expansion of Krishna. So, he sees what we are doing, but even if we're thinking, well, Krishna may not see me, but Krishna also has his representatives. Just like in any big institution, any big company, if some office worker is working very nicely, steadily, over many years, that will come to the attention of the big boss in due course of time, because people will notice he's a very sincere worker and he'll be recommended. Sometimes we see someone, he's just an ordinary worker, but he goes way high up in the company because of his good service attitude. So of course in Krishna consciousness, our idea is not corporate ladder climbing. Not that I will show myself to be a big devotee. If someone's thinking like that, then he's already got the wrong idea. And he may make a big show and be a big devotee and make sure everyone sees him. But the real thing is not how everyone will see me. Everyone will praise me. Oh, he's such a great devotee. But rather, how Krishna will see our heart, how pure it is. Pure means free from all these desires that people will praise me. La puja pratishta jata upashakarga. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends those devotees who want to be pure devotees, they should be very careful, because at the time of cultivating Krishna consciousness, there may be so many, he calls them upashakas, means weeds, which pollute our hearts. And even we're thinking, I'm becoming a very nice devotee, but these wrong ideas are coming in our hearts. Nishidacha, kutinati, jiver hingsham, lab puja pratishta jato upashakaga. He says there are many, many different kinds of contaminations which spoil our devotional service. And he gives some example. Nishidacha. If someone thinks I will be a devotee of Krishna and at the same time I will go on smoking cigarettes and drinking tea and coffee, that is nishedacha, forbidden. Even watching TV, of course if we have our Krishna conscious TV, but normally what they're showing, this is bhakti pratikul, it's an obstruction. Sometimes I visit our householder devotees' houses. And I see they're sitting there with a bead bag, chanting their rounds in the evening, watching TV. So, it's not a very good way to chant Hare Krishna. That is nishedacha. Chanting Hare Krishna means we should sit in front of Radha and Krishna, or anywhere, but not in front of a TV. Or if it is in front of a TV, turn the TV off and chant. So nishidacha, kutinati, diplomatic, duplicitous behavior, making a show, jive hingshan, being cruel to others, then lab, I will execute my devotional service and make some money. That you'll see, not ordinary devotees, but maybe just like pandas in holy places. Maybe if you visited Vrindavan, especially Radha Kund, you'll find you may want to go there and sit peacefully and chant Hare Krishna, but you can't because you'll be harassed. Give some money, give some money, give some money. So this is not proper cultivation of Krishna consciousness. then puja pratishta, these are very dangerous. Someone who's advancing in Krishna consciousness, then other people may praise him, that he's a very nice devotee. Then you may think, oh, so when someone praises us, we feel, oh, that's very nice. Just like if someone chastises us, we feel our false ego, ahankar. Oh, why is he saying something to me? Look at him, and he's got so many faults. Nothing wrong with me. And if someone praises us, we think, oh, this man is intelligent. He has understood what is my actual position. I was waiting for somebody to notice. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he has said that he who praises me, he is my enemy. Because if someone praises me and I think, oh, actually he's right, I am a very good devotee, then this simply means that our ahankar is increasing. And Krishna consciousness means how to become humbler than a blade of grass. Chunadapi sunichena. How to become so humble. It's not very easy for a conditioned soul to be so humble that you feel yourself so low. Jagai madhai hoite muito papishta. What is that? Purisha kit hoite muito lagishta. This Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita says that I am more sinful than Jagai and Madhai, and I am lower than the worm in stool. So Prabhupada several times he commented on this verse, and he said that this Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he's not just saying that, anyone can say. Just like someone sometimes among our devotees, someone comes and says, oh, you're a very great devotee. And he says, no, no, you're a very great devotee, I'm a very fallen devotee. And this way they talk with each other, but actually not feeling it very deeply. It's a kind of Vaishnava etiquette that someone will say, no, actually you're great, I'm not very great. So that's kind of etiquette in dealings. But actually, do we feel that very deeply? Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, greatest devotee, he has written Chaitanya Charitamrita. An ordinary devotee cannot do this. Anyone can sit down and write something. But to write the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that one has to be empowered. Very great, topmost devotee, our Acharya. He is thinking, I am lower than the worm in stool. I am more sinful than Jagai and Madhai. He's actually thinking like that. And who is a neophyte devotee? Whose heart is full of lust and greed and anger and envy and so many bad things. But still he's thinking, I'm such a great devotee. So how can we think of Krishna? Krishna is saying here, always think of me. Always think of me. So that means one has to become pure. Otherwise we can't think of Krishna. We may think there are so many subject matters for thinking. Just like in the beginning of Bhagavatam, Shukadev, when he first starts to speak, he says that there are so many different subject matters for discussion in human society. So many things we can talk about. So similarly, so many things we can think about. But Krishna says, Manmana, think of me. Maya will offer us millions, million, million things to think about. And then something more too. But Krishna says, think of me. Think of me. This is called ekanishta bhakti. Ekanta bhakti. Ekagra chitta bhakti. It's all just thinking of Krishna. So how can we do that? Prabhupada gives a nice hint elsewhere in the Gita. He says that in the beginning, a devotee, he takes pleasure in performing devotional service. And that devotional service, that is none different from Krishna. Then later on, as he performs his devotional service, by his advancement, gradually he thinks more and more directly of Krishna. This is the process. Nam, Rup, Gun, Lila. This is a development. In the beginning, one chants Hare Krishna. And by concentrating on the sound of that chanting, that is meditation, then by going on and on chanting, then the form of Krishna becomes impressed in his mind. It's especially those engaged in deity worship. All devotees are supposed to engage in deity worship. That's also very important. Chanting Hare Krishna is most important. Deity worship is also important. So the impression of Krishna will be in our minds. We should become very attached to the form of Krishna. Different devotees, they become attached to different forms of Krishna. Here, Prabhupada is recommending we should think of Shamsundar, Muralidhar, his two-armed form of Krishna. We see Prabhupada established in his temples mostly Radha Krishna. So we should worship in our homes or go regularly to the temple and just see the beautiful form of Krishna. How beautifully he is dressed. How nicely he is standing. Very happily giving darshan to his devotees. And become attached to these forms of the Lord by regularly seeing Radha Rasbihari. Then we become, some attachment will be there. That is natural. Just Rupa Goswami gives the example, just like young boys and young girls, naturally they become attracted to each other. It's a natural thing. When people are in Maya, which mostly everybody is, then in youth especially, they become attracted. So Rupa Goswami is praying that just as young boys and young girls are naturally attracted to each other, that may my attraction be towards you, Krishna. So actually that is natural. This attraction in this material world, what is the attraction? The attraction to Maya, the main attraction is man to woman, woman to man. That is the attraction of Maya. And in family life, of course, one becomes attracted to his Atma Sainya, that Shukadeva Goswami describes. One accepts this family, friends, Kutumba Bharaneyanava. We take the responsibility for maintaining the family, and we think my family members, they will protect me. So that is the illusion, because we've had so many families, so many lifetimes, so many families. But our real attraction should be towards Krishna. That is natural. Actually, it's not natural to be attracted to anyone on the material platform. We're attracted to friends, Sutamita Ramani Samaji, Prabhupada used to quote from Vidyapati. Suta means Suta Suta, sons and daughters. Mita, this is Maitili Bhasha, means Mitra, friends, Samaji. Prabhupada, he summarizes friendship, society and love. So that is, in the material world we have this attraction. But our real attraction is meant to be for Krishna. So Kunti Devi, she gives the example. Sneha Pashave Mang Chindhi Yadasu Vrishnishu. Sneha Pashave Mang Chindhi Dura Pandashu Vrishnishu. She says, I've got very strong attachment. Woman, she has her own family and the family she marries into. So for Kunti Devi, she, her own family is Vrishni, and she married she became the mother of the Pandavas, married to Pandu. So that Kuru dynasty and Vrishni dynasty. So she, both sides, she was attached. But she was saying, Sneha Pasham, the ropes of attachment. Sneha Pasham. Sneha Pasham Imam Chindi, please cut it. She's praying to Krishna. Please cut that. Drudha, that very strong attachment. Naturally in family life you become very strongly attached. But she's praying, may that be cut. Why? Because her prayer is that she will only be attached to Krishna. That she is wanting. She's praying that may Krishna be strongly attached to you. That is her prayer. She gives a very nice example. Just as the Ganga flows towards the sea relentlessly, right from the beginning, Gomukh, and coming down through the Himalayas, coming down, 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 through Haridwar, and through all of UP plain, and Bihar, and Bengal, and out to Ganga Sagar, The whole course. It may appear to be going this way and that way, but its course, it's headed for the sea. That's why sometimes the rivers, they're called the wives of the sea, because they're going always towards the sea. Their attention is always one direction. So they're sometimes called the wives of the sea, the river. So Kunti Devi is praying that may my attraction always flow towards you, just as the Ganga flows towards the sea. So this way, she's giving the example, how our attention should be fixed on Krishna. So this is our goal, pure devotional service. Our thoughts only fixed on Krishna. So how to do that? We may think, well, you just can't turn a switch in your brain or give yourself an injection. Krishna consciousness. Of course, injection is there, always chanting Hare Krishna. But it's a gradual process. It may not be immediate. We've been stuck in this material world since time immemorial. So our attention has been away from Krishna. Now we have to awaken our natural Krishna consciousness. But it may take some time. Just like a sick man, his real position is to be healthy, but it may take some time to awaken. His real position is to be healthy, but it may take some time to revive his healthy condition. But if he follows the right path, if he takes the doctor's advice and takes the right medicine, and God willing, he will become healthy again. So similarly, if we follow the path of Krishna consciousness, we follow all the rules and regulations very nicely, and we act according to the direction of the doctor, which means spiritual master, then God willing, we shall become healthy. That's also not guaranteed. Ultimately, that's in the hands of Krishna. No one can force their way into the kingdom of God. Now I have chanted Hare Krishna for 20 years. I've done so many things. Krishna must come. He must give me entrance into Golok Vrindavan. No. That is in the hands of Krishna. That we are quoting. Atashri Krishna Namadi Nabhavet Grahyam Indriyai Sivon Mukhe Hi Jivada Swayameva Spuratiyata. We cannot force our way to understand Krishna. Maybe in many, many lifetimes we cannot understand. Bhagavan Mahins, no. Nachanya Ekopi Charang Vichindam. It's a very important verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, stating that it is not possible to understand Krishna only by His mercy. If we get a little bit of mercy from Krishna, then we can understand Him. Otherwise, by our own materialistic endeavor, avang manasa gochara, by our materialistic discussions, well, I think God is like this. Well, no, I think God is probably like this. Well, in my opinion, God is like that. It doesn't matter what your opinion is, you're nothing, insignificant. God is not subject to our opinion. I don't believe in God. That means God doesn't exist. And the next day, well, maybe I do believe in God. All right, now God is allowed to exist because I decided that I believe in God. And next day, no, I don't believe in God. That means God doesn't exist anymore. People are thinking like this. No, we are dependent on God, not God is dependent on us. So this humble mood of service, God may be pleased to reveal Himself to us. That has to be cultivated, that Rupa Goswami describes. Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam Bhakti Rutama. How we can develop this pure devotion to Krishna by cultivating devotional cultivation. Anushilanam means cultivation. Anukulyena, favorably, not puffed up. We may be chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But if we're thinking, actually I'm a great devotee, it's about time everybody noticed. Why isn't everybody noticing? If we have so many things may be there, La, Puja, Pratishta, so many wrong ideas may be there, these wrong desires. But if we're actually cultivating Krishna consciousness favorably, then there's a chance to understand Krishna. Then Krishna may be pleased to bestow His mercy upon us. Otherwise it's not possible, even in many millions of years, many millions of lifetimes, to understand Krishna. But if we take up Krishna consciousness with the proper mood, humble mood, seriously following the rules and regulations, then it may be possible to understand Krishna even in this very life. Even in this very life. Even otherwise it may not be possible. Tahunam janmanamante gyanavan mam prapadyate. Even after many lifetimes, someone may not understand Krishna. And someone else, he may immediately understand Krishna. Depends. Everything depends on our attitude in Krishna consciousness. So that cultivation should be there. Anukulyena. Proper attitude, cultivating Krishna consciousness. We shouldn't waste time. Time and tide wait for no man. Now we have this valuable human form of life. We should cultivate Krishna consciousness very seriously. Because we're all dying. We're all dying. Every moment we're dying. Every moment that passes is gone. Ayushak shana ekopi na labhya swarna koti bi. Today is 21st of April, 1995. So if I bring all the money belonging to the Tatas, Hindujas and Birlas, piles of gold, who knows how much money they all have, crores of rupees, and I ask, is there anyone who can bring me back 20th of April 1995? No. One moment can you bring back? No. Time is gone. So that moment, if we've used in Krishna's service, that means that time was used properly. And if we haven't used it in Krishna's service, means it's spoiled forever, gone. Anyway, whatever has happened in the past, that is gone. But now let us see to the future. We should see every moment. Am I engaging my mind, body and senses in Krishna's service or not? This practice should be there. So that practice, beginning stage, sadhana bhakti, following the regulative principles of Krishna consciousness, this will help us to develop that attraction to Krishna. Krishna is naturally attractive. That's what his name means. We have to develop that attraction. So that means vidhi nishet, positive and negative. We should take up the positive activities of Krishna consciousness, which will develop our attraction to Krishna. Chanting the holy names of Krishna, associating with devotees, visiting the temples of Krishna, taking food offered to Krishna, prasadam. And we should avoid everything which is detrimental to this cultivation of pure devotional service, such as watching nonsense materialistic television, engaging in useless mundane talk, eating food not offered to Krishna, all these things. We have to see what is favorable for our devotional service and what is not favorable. Accept that which is favorable and reject that which is not favorable. And in this way, very carefully monitor our lives so that we can come to the perfectional stage of always thinking of Krishna. This is our goal, nothing else. Always thinking of Krishna. Nandana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskaru mame vaishyasi satyam te pratijane priyosi me. Lord Krishna says, always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, bow down to me. In this way you will come to me. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. Hare Krishna. Is there any question?
He said that chanting is the most important thing in a devotee's life. Supposing a sincere devotee tries his very best and still is not able to chant properly, is it possible that he can get a benediction from his guru and he chants better?
Well, if he's sincere, then he should be able to chant properly. Not chant properly means to make offenses. So if he's sincere, he'll avoid the offenses. This idea, well, I'm chanting offensively, but I won't bother to make any endeavor to improve myself. I'll just get a blessing from my guru. This is, if you don't mind me saying, this is a typical bogus Hindu idea. That I will do nothing, I'll just get a blessing. I'll go to Guruji and get a blessing and that's all my work finished. I'll go to the temple, put 10 rupees in the box and get a blessing and make 1 lakh of rupee. Good business. Blessing means you get some inspiration, some encouragement to improve yourself. Or if you're sincere to improve yourself, then your endeavors, that blessing means that you'll be given power to improve yourself. Not that I'll sit here, just like Arjuna, Krishna didn't tell him, I'm your friend, I'm God, I'll bless you. So you sit on this chariot, you have a nice sleep, and I'll bless you and all the battle will be finished. No, he has to work also. So we have to, Krishna consciousness doesn't mean we take a blessing and everything's finished. It's just like there's some idea, this rascal, Vivekananda told this, that he's a rascal and his so-called guru also a rascal. So this rascal Ramakrishna was supposed to have touched him and he felt an electric shock. He felt an electric shock going into his body. Then he passed out. Then when he came to his consciousness, the so-called Ramakrishna was crying. He said, why are you crying? Because now all my power has gone to you. This is nonsense. The guru gives knowledge by, he gives power by speaking. He teaches by speaking. And the disciple listens. And the guru gives instruction. You do like this, you do like this, you do like this. The disciple doesn't just sit and waits for some blessing. Blessing means you take the instruction and you implement it in your life. Not that you get some electric shock, everything finished. Just like people go for the lottery. Let me win the lottery. Then I won't have to work. So let me take the guru's blessing, then I won't have to do any work. Take the guru's blessing means you take the guru's blessing and apply it in your life. You have to apply it. All the dirty things in our heart, we have to work on cleaning them. Not that simply I'll go and get a blessing and then all right, finished. I don't have to do any more work. Sincere means that we have to sincerely try to become free from impurities. That is the meaning of sincere. That means we, that's what I was saying, that you don't think that I'm chanting Hare Krishna 6 months and still I'm finding so many impurities in my heart, oh then useless, let me go back smoking cigarettes, materialistic life. No, that we have to be patient. We have to be enthusiasm, determination and patience. We have to increase our determination. Sometimes we see people in the beginning, they're very enthusiastic. But after some time, oh well, I'm coming every week to this program. Alright, not so enthusiastic. But rather our enthusiasm should increase. Our determination should increase. And even if we don't see any immediate result, we should be patient. Any other question? How to develop humility? That requires, there are different things. One thing is this requires introspection, requires a little thinking. Actually, it's not at all difficult to develop humility if we just think, what is our actual position? If we just see our actual position, then we must become humble because we're not great devotees. And just think how insignificant we are, then it should be very easy to become humble. Another, for humility, one should serve great devotees. That will develop his humility. Any other question?
you were mentioning about the harassment by so-called pandal, Radha What should be our approach when we approach Bodhisattva? When even we are harassed by the people, should we take that as harassment or take that as a blessing? They're so limited, so they're residing in the
world. Should we take it as such that they're actually elevated souls? Well, Prabhupada, he always used to say that you can understand a person by his symptoms. A rich man, you understand his symptoms. He doesn't go to work in the second-class compartment crowded up in the train. He doesn't live in the Jopapati. He has symptoms. So an elevated soul also has symptoms. An elevated soul doesn't harass people for money in the name of Dham Seva. So they're special means they're born in Vrindavan, but they should also act in such a way that's pleasing to Krishna. If they're acting as materialistic people, that much respect we may offer them. They're born in Vrindavan. They're taking advantage of foolish people's sentiment. Oh, he's born in Vrindavan, therefore they can harass you and take money and use it for intoxication and who knows what they use the money for. They're misusing people's sentiment. There are so many Muslim rickshaw wallahs in Mayapur who eat cow's meat, and they attack our devotees if they find them outside at night. Does it mean they're great elevated devotees? Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes that there is Prodha Maya, is a special feature of Yoga Maya, which covers the dham from people who even they may be living there, but they're not cultivating the proper mode of Krishna consciousness. So they're superficially in the dham, but they're actually not there at all. If someone's aim is to increase his eating, sleeping and mating and defending in the name of living in Vrindavan, then he's not acting in a way pleasing to Krishna. By the grace of the dham, he may in the next birth get an opportunity. Prabhupada describes, he may get the opportunity to take birth as a cat or a dog or a monkey or a pig in Vrindavan, and then next life go back to Godhead. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't think that someone who's dedicated his life to Krishna, preaching, spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world, deliberately trying to cultivate the qualities of a Vaishnav, and someone who's just happens to be living in Radha Kund and who's acting in the most abominable manner, we shouldn't think this person's actually a great elevated devotee if he's not acting like an elevated devotee. Why should you think that? We may respect, but we shouldn't. Is there any value to associating with such people?
No value, but deciding those devotees, they have kind of problem. Deciding those devotees that they are harassing people or something.
Well, it's a fact. They are harassing people. It's not a criticism. It's a statement of fact. Well, if you think that this man, he's actually, it's some kind of leela or something, that's nonsense. He's harassing you. He won't let you sit down to chant japa unless you give him some money. And when he's gone, someone else will come. What do you call that? You call that leela? You call that devotional service? You call that Vaishnava behavior? It's harassment. You may not go on and on about it all your life, but it's a fact. The fact is, if any of you know, that you can't sit down and chant japa at Radha Kund without getting harassed. It's a fact. People are misbehaving. So many people misuse their birth. They know people have a sentiment for people born in Vrindavan. They misuse it. Prabhupada quoted Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. He said everyone in Vrindavan is a neophyte devotee. I'm quoting from our Acharya. Why? Because one Christian priest went there And he challenged that, what is this? You're worshipping God who's dancing with other people's wives, he's immoral? And nobody could give any reply. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, therefore, all the people living in Vrindavan, they are neophyte devotees. Then, when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur went to Radha Kund, so many Babajis came to listen to him, because they thought he's a famous preacher of Krishna consciousness. Then they thought he must be speaking something about Gopi Leela or something like this. He spoke on the Upanishads. They all went away. They said, oh, he's not a bhakti, he's a jnani. Why is he speaking about the Upanishads? So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, these people, they're not living at Radha Kund. They're living at Narak Kund. Because their consciousness is like Naraki, resident of hell. They don't recognize who is the proper devotee. That's what he said. I'm quoting what he said. So we ourselves, we're not going to make any campaigns or anything. But we should know what's what. We shouldn't sentimentally think that if someone is harassing you to get some money so he can take it for bhang and chewing tobacco, that he's a great elevated Paramahamsa. He's not. Even if he's born in Vrindavan, doesn't mean he's a great elevated Paramahamsa. Naturally, they have some sentiment for Krishna. But it doesn't automatically mean that they're topmost level devotee. That also, you may know one story. Two of Prabhupada's sannyasis were visiting Radha Raman temple in Vrindavan, and they were taking darshan of the deity with great devotion. So the pujari saw this and he said, oh, you seem to have so much devotion, that's very nice. So I think that by your devotion, that in the next life you may be born in Vrindavan and you'll get the chance to worship the deities as I am doing. So they went back to Krishna Balaram temple. Prabhupada was there at that time and they told this. And Prabhupada said that you should have said to him that by your devotion to the deity in Vrindavan, the next life you may get the chance to get born in the Western countries and preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. That's the real work of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Priti vite ache jatanagara adigram sabatpracha hoibe morana. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say that to show the deity for making your income, or to maintain your family in the name of showing people the holy place, he said this is very offensive. He said it would be better to be a bhangi or a sweeper in the street and earn your money honestly, but don't take Krishna, who is supposed to be worshipped with love and devotion. Don't exploit people's sentiment. Show the deity to take money so you can maintain your family. He said, better you don't do that. You sweep the street and earn some paisa. Any other questions?